Thank you, Chris, for sharing with us and leading us in worship. Let's begin our sermon time this morning with the text, a text that is well known, a text that even if you're not one who spent a lot of time in church, a text that Charlie Brown made famous in the infamous Charlie Brown's Christmas Carol. You've heard this before. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth, and So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in a town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." I've started reading from the screen and a lot more because I've switched to those kinds of glasses that have different things going on inside the lenses. And it's a little bit of an adjustment for me trying to read from my text. So y'all bear with me. There are certain things as you approach certain ages that you have to adjust to. Most of you listening in person or online have heard this story many times. And I admit it's a little bit early. It's December 13th. Normally we read this story, this portion of the story, at Christmas Eve. And certainly we'll read it at our Christmas Eve services as well. So it's a little early, but it's not early like Walmart putting up the Christmas decorations in September early, okay? It's a little bit early because this angelic proclamation is the theme of our current sermon series. More than this, these words from this angelic messenger are the words our culture needs to hear now, perhaps more than ever. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. When was the last time you got good news that brought you great joy? I hope you've had some good news in 2020, but I realize that 2020 has not been the year that will go down in the history books as the year of good news. On a macro-cultural level, we've experienced polarization, mistrust, racial injustice, and rising pandemic numbers. People have lost their businesses and jobs. Others in our city, in our church, and within our mile struggle to hold on to their jobs. Our first responders, nurses, doctors, and other medical professionals are overwhelmed all across our nation. Teachers are strained to the breaking point, as are their students and the parents of these students. As everyone tries to figure out how to work through distance learning, hybrid learning, in-person learning in the midst of a pandemic. All of this produces great anxiety and great fear, and on top of this, it seems like as a nation and as a culture, we have lost our ability to empathize. It seems like if we are not touched directly by the medical or economic losses of this pandemic, there's a great portion of us that is willing to say, well, it only touches a small portion of the people. For many of us, it seems like as long as the stock market keeps going up, as long as we still have our jobs, as long as we still have our health, We tend to dismiss a lot of the pain, the fear and anxiety that is going on among so many. Now, in the midst of all of our cultural angst and crises and bad news, many of us are facing significant personal struggles. People in our congregation and our city are lonely. People are losing their loved ones. People are having significant surgeries and receiving scary health diagnoses. Friends and neighbors are still having to decide how to care for their aging parents. Parents are still broken over the poor choices of their children. And students, teachers, and parents are struggling again with all the processes that come of trying to grow up their children. None of that has changed. It's just gotten harder. Many of us, even as we smile at one another, even as we keep trudging forward, are in a persistent spiral of anxious grieving. The spiral of grief and stress causes us to lash out at others or even at ourselves. If all of us were honest, most of us would confess that for one reason or another, we are not our best right now. In fact, many of us are barely hanging on by a thread as we approach Christmas. This is precisely why we need this word. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Good news. Rather than living in fear at our circumstances, we serve a God that sent his own son to deliver us, not to deliver us from hardship or suffering, but from sin, selfishness, fear, and hopelessness. Followers of Jesus are given the gift not only of life lived for God's purpose, but a life lived in God's joy. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. Everybody, not just the ones sitting in the seats today or watching online, this good news that the angelic messenger proclaims is good news for everyone. Good news of great joy. And I don't know about you, but I really need this good news. I need good news that'll bring great joy. The circumstances of our lives, they threaten to separate us from the joyfulness of God. Followers of Jesus are gifted by God to live a life of great joy, regardless of the circumstances of our living, but that is rarely the case. Too often, we as followers of Jesus, our lives are as joyless as the folks that are around us. We are as caught up in the circumstances and unredeemed at how we approach them as anyone who is not a follower of Jesus. And yet, we are made for joy. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Nehemiah said it this way, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Nehemiah 8:10. The Lord gives us joy, so we can find God's strength for living in all of our circumstances. C.S. Lewis said it like this, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." If, friends, joy is the serious business of heaven, then it ought to be the serious business of the people who claim they are going there. And the best part about this is we don't have to wait for heaven to live in joy. We can embrace the good news of God's joy today. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. How do we practice joy in our stressed, anxious, lonely, polarized circumstances where people seem to have lost their capacity for empathy? How do we practice joy? First thing we have to do, friends, is we have to distinguish between joy and happiness. We have to know that these are two different things. In our culture, they're often treated as synonyms. But in the life of a Christ follower, these words carry different values. Happiness refers to conditions or circumstances in life that bring us pleasure and satisfaction. In our Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness is listed as a right. We have the right as Americans to pursue conditions and circumstances in our lives that will bring us happiness. But what happens when our circumstances don't make us happy anymore? Are we permitted or even obligated to find circumstances that bring us more happiness? Are you allowed to leave your spouse for someone who brings you more feelings of happiness? Are you advised when your job gets hard to change jobs as quickly as possible so you will be happy? When your children disappoint you, do you exchange them for new children so you will be more happy? Or do you attempt to manipulate them until they're doing what you want so you will be happy? When your church disappoints you, do you move again and again until you find a church that will make you happy? Friends, happiness is conditional. We pursue conditions that bring us the best life of comfort, achievement, and satisfaction. We often mistakenly equate the pursuit of happiness with what the Bible calls us to as followers of Jesus, as if God's greatest dreams for us center upon financial security, personal achievement, widespread approval, and ongoing acquisition, and living in the best house with a white picket fence with two cars and 2.5 dogs and 2.5 kids. What if God's purpose for us is more than happiness? What if God meant for you and me to live a life of practicing joy? John 15:11, Jesus is surrounded by the disciples, listening to him teach on the last night of his life, the night he's betrayed. They finished the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, around that table. And in John 15:11, Jesus tells the disciples, "I have said these things to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy would be complete. I have taught you these things, brothers and sisters," Jesus says, "so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus wants his followers to be filled with the joy that is at the core of the image of God, because, friends, God is a God of joy. And maybe that's a big piece of our problem. Maybe long ago we decided that God was someone who was mad at us and ready to let us have it. Maybe long ago we decided God was simply distant from us and didn't particularly care about how we felt about things. Maybe long ago we decided that God was a God who just kind of set things in motion and then said, "Okay, it's up to y'all to do things now." But friends, what we see in the Scriptures is a God who takes great delight and great joy in creating human beings and creating us good. A God who takes great joy in seeing people redeemed. Think of the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus in Luke 19, where Jesus says, "Today joy has come into this house because this one child of Israel has repented." Think about what brings God joy. In Luke 15, we read Jesus telling us three progressive stories about lost things being found. And in each of those stories, at the end of the story, the lost item, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son are all found. At the end of each of those stories, there is a party that is filled with great joy, because nothing brings God greater joy than seeing God's people found and seeing people brought back to hope and life in Jesus Christ. God is a God of joy. And God's people are called not to pursue their life only for happiness. We're called to live for something better. We're called to embrace a life of living in God's joy. Happiness in our life is conditional. It is circumstance dependent. Too often we substitute the pursuit of happiness for a life immersed in the joy of the Lord. John Ortberg says it this way: true joy, it turns out, comes only to those who've devoted their lives to something greater than personal happiness. Joy is not about our circumstances. It's about our character in response to our circumstances. It's about our lives being molded according to the character of Christ. So what do we do to help joy flourish in our souls? Well, we have to arrange our days for joy in concert with the Holy Spirit. We have to arrange our days for joy. Notice how I said that. Arrange our days for joy so that joy flourishes in our soul. Flourish is a gardening phrase. It reminds us that joy in the Lord is grown in us through the Holy Spirit. It's not manufactured by our effort. We see this in the passage of Scripture in Galatians 5 that we know as the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, we have the listing of the fruit of the Spirit. And we find there in this text, we find, adjust the glasses just a bit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, kindness. Against these things there is no law. Now the one who belongs to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, when we are allowing the Spirit of God to guide us and lead us in our lives, these fruit are things that grow in us. A follower of Jesus, one of the things we should see over our time of following Jesus is not just more intellectual knowledge, not just more understanding of the Scripture, but we should see these fruit growing as a part of our character. Joy is grown inside of our life. Real joy is dependent on God transforming our heart. This means, friends, that growing in spiritual maturity, being a spiritually mature follower of Jesus, means that we are going to have a high capacity for joy. As John Ortberg also noted, that in the eyes of Jesus, joylessness is a serious sin. Sadly, it's not a sin that's considered very serious by the church. Many followers of Jesus pass on more judgmentalism, cynicism, bitterness, and pure meanness in a month than joy in a lifetime. That's not only sad, it's sinful. If we're going to grow in living in the joy of the Lord, we must reorient our lives to spend more time in the presence of God, resting in His authentic joy. We must reorder our minds with the help of the Holy Spirit to banish thoughts and words of complaint, hate, and despondency, and instead replace them with thoughts and words of gratitude, love, and hope for the future. This kind of spiritual surgery is something the Spirit has to do in us. It's amazing. The more time we spend immersing our daily journey in the presence of God, the more joy radiates from us. How do you become more adept at practicing joy? Start today. Arranging your life as a perfect soil for growing God's joy. Reorder your prayer time with God and make praying for joy in your life a top priority. Choose right now that when you get up tomorrow morning, your first thought is going to be thanks be to God. In fact, Saturate your day to day in gratitude to God, because, friends, joy thrives in the soil of thanksgiving. Finally, as you go through your day, stop the cycle of complaint and despondency. Life is hard right now. I get it. It's hard for all of us. Too often we want to blame other people for how hard it is, and before long our words of blame color all that we're thinking and doing. Sadly, followers of Jesus have engaged in spreading hate, blame, and vindictiveness in 2020 more than we've spread God's good news of joy for all the people. So as far as it depends on us, let's change right now. Let's change right now, and let's commit to being joy bringers. By the way, if you want to be a joy bringer, one of the best things you can do is spend time around joy bringers. Spend time around people who bring you joy. Now, that does not mean that you spend time around people that only tell you what you want to hear. Joy bringers aren't people that you want to hear. There's no one in my life that brings me more joy than my wife. And I promise you, she doesn't always tell me what I want to hear. But she tells me what I need to know. And as I ponder and as I pray and as I listen, I find joy even in the things that I hear from Alice that I didn't want to know. I find joy and truth in them. And friends, truth told in love that is heard brings joy, because it sets you free. And as we said last week in our sermon, because Alice and I are committed to the truth that we is stronger than I. Joy bringers do not merely tell us what we want to hear. They are the ones who, even in hard conversations, reveal the depths of God's joy to us, who seek God's fullness for our lives. They have our best at their heart, rather than their agenda at their heart. The quickest way for your joy to disintegrate is to spend most of your time around joyless people. If you spend nearly all your time around joyless people, friends, find some joy bringers. Spend less time around the joyless people. But Randy, what if everybody I work with, what if everybody in my Sunday school class, what if everybody on my street, what if everybody in my family is an Eeyore? You know who Eeyore is? The Winnie the Pooh donkey who could make everything awful. I remember the time that Pooh said to him, "Eeyore, lovely day, isn't it?" And Eeyore replied, "I wish I could say yes, but I can't." What do you do if you must spend extended times around an Eeyore or two? I get it. There's some folks that are just joyless, and you can get away from them. You can spend less time around them. You can stop giving them sway over your life. But sometimes you got an Eeyore living in your house. Sometimes your boss is an Eeyore, or your number one employee is an Eeyore. What do you do with the Eeyore you can't get away from? You rejoice, friends. God has entrusted you with the most sacred mission. You were called to bring joy to an Eeyore. You were called to be a Tigger missionary. You remember Tigger? Tigger is the one in the Pooh cartoons who bounced everywhere because of his joy. God is calling you to bring Tigger to a land of Eeyores. Now, you cannot manufacture the joy of the Lord. We've already said this. But you can pray over your Eeyore. You can bring a compliment to Eeyore. You can joyfully and carefully point out the joyless moments and suggest a new approach. And friends, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord can melt the hardest heart and the harshest life. Believe it. Pray for your Eeyore. Get people behind you who will pray for your Eeyore. and that will pray for you to bring the joy of the Lord rather than to be brought down to the joylessness of the Eeyores in your life. And friend, if you are called to be a missionary to an Eeyore, a missionary of joy, make sure that you put yourself around other joy bringers. That you put yourself around people who are going to replenish the joy that you pour out on this child of God named Eeyore. And realize that, friends, we're not just called to bring joy to the people who already have it. We're called to bring joy to the people who need it. We have a vision team in our church that's composed of 6 different lead teams, and Yay is 7th to help administer and make sure that everything works. One of those lead teams, commissioned by you, our congregation, has the charge to build authentic community in our church. They have had a rough go in the pandemic because much of what they have done in past times has been to build that community through meals, to build that community in how we meet together, to build that community and how we connect together, and we are not connecting together as much. So these dear saints have had to brainstorm. And recently, they came up with what I thought was a brilliant idea. They asked a question. The question is, how do we share joy with our people during the Christmas season? Our younger adults, our older adults, our middle-aged adults, our children, how do we share joy with the whole gamut of our people, not only one group? How do we share joy across the church family? They came up with an idea. They decided we want to be signs of joy for all the people. So what did they do? They made signs. Couple of hundred of them. And they went out, these elves of joy, and placed them in lawns and on apartments for folks that are connected with our congregation. Now, they took a great risk because when you share joy, there's always going to be an Eeyore out there that says, but what about me? Thankfully, we haven't had very much of that. But signs run out. But you know what doesn't run out? Joy. So guess what? If you have one of these and were blessed with one of these and there's someone in our church who did not get one, why don't you take your sign from your yard and put it in their yard? Why don't you share the joy? I see one of these in my front yard right now. And every day when I see it, every time I leave my house and I come home, I think of the joy of the Lord. I think of you, the people of our congregation who are praying for me and for my family, and who are bringing the joy of the Lord. I think of our deacons who are sharing the joy of our Lord, particularly with folks who are lonely and cannot get out of their homes. I think of our ministers who are serving diligently, carefully, lovingly, to the point of exhaustion, to share the joy of the Lord digitally and in person. I think of all of you who are present in person and online, and I see this sign, and I see hope, and I hear the words, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people." Friends, how are you going to bring joy this week? What signs of joy are you going to be leaving behind? Because I promise you, friends, joy of the Lord is needed now more than ever because we have so many people that are hurting, not just in our church, but in our community. And friends, we have to learn the hard truth that we have to choose joy even when it's hard. You've already heard in our Advent reading earlier this morning the immortal verse from Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice always. And then there's that favorite that we read in Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If we're going to live in the joy of the Lord, friends, all of us have to start today. We can't wait till our bodies feel right, our circumstances are the way we want, and everyone is behaving the way we think they should. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Joy does not wait on the perfect circumstances. For many of you, today is mundane, blah. Another day spent mainly indoors with the persons who live in your house, whether they're Eeyore or Tigger. And this is your day to rejoice. For some of you, today is glorious. You got a promotion this week. You got engaged. You found out you were pregnant. Your first grandchild was born. You experienced God's work in your life in a profound way. This is your day to rejoice, because this is the day the Lord has made. For some of you, today is painful. You are lonely. You are scared. You are facing Christmas without family because you cannot travel. You are facing Christmas with an empty house and an empty chair at the table because you lost someone you love. You're facing the next few weeks wondering if you'll have a job or wondering if you'll have a business. Perhaps you're facing a significant health battle. Today you're overwhelmed and joy is the farthest thing from your mind. Today, friends, if that is where you are, I will make you a promise. We will rejoice for you until you can rejoice again. We will rejoice with you on your behalf. Even if we do not know your name or your struggle, we will pray joy on your behalf, and we will pray for strength to rejoice, because the joy of the Lord goes beyond our circumstances. It is precisely in the joy of the Lord that we find strength to deal with these kinds of horrible circumstances. After all, friends, joy gets the final word. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born. Psalm 35 says this in the second portion of the verse: weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes today. Thanks be to God, joy comes for all eternity. Would you pray our benediction with me and then remain seated for the postlude? Lord God, for the ones in this room who find joy easy today, whose circumstances have gone well in the past week, I pray, O Lord, that they would see their day and their week coming in front of them as a mission field of joy to the world, that they will spread your joy to others around them. For those, Lord, who are simply blah, simply moving through the moments, Lord, I pray that they would practice and experience your joy in a profound way, that they would put themselves in your presence, and even in the ordinary moments, that they would experience deep and overwhelming joy that wipes away fear. For the ones in our congregation, in our city, our nation, and our world who are overwhelmed, who are broken, grieving, and hurting beyond words, I pray, O Lord, that your joy would give them strength to endure, that your Holy Spirit would grow enough joy in them so that they can make it through the night. And then experience the joy of yours that never ends, that radiates through the morning. As we go from this place, O Lord God, may we go with your joy, in your joy, and to distribute your joy. Because we are commanded to not be afraid. Because you have brought good news of great joy for all the people. Amen.